It's time you're invited to open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. From the book of 1 Samuel chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Hear now these words. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim, so he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the Ark of the Covenant was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time. He got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and laid down his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears it tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house, from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to punish his house forever, for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli, that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be expiated by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay there until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He said, "Here I am." Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you, and more also, if you hide anything from me of all he had told you." So Samuel told him everything, and hid nothing from him. Then Eli said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. My friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, so last Sunday, being Mother's Day, I picked the scripture about Hannah and how she prayed for a son, and that son being Samuel. And so this week, I was thinking, well, I need to come up with something fast and furious, because Thursday night, Friday, I don't have time to be doing this. I got class 9 graduation. And then I thought, well, you know, I've been bringing a lot about 1 Samuel and old Samuel, so I just need to kind of keep the ball going here. And so next Sunday I'll do a Pentecost sermon, because it'll be Pentecost Sunday, and we'll have the red out. But today I want to talk about Samuel. So we know about his birth. Here's a kid whose mother was having a hard time, not able to conceive. She goes to the temple and prays a desperate prayer. and the Lord, out of his goodness and grace, touches her. She gives birth to a son, Samuel, a bassam of the Lord. And she dedicates her son to the Lord, and little Samuel grows up in the temple. Now, the high priest this time is a guy by the name of Eli. And quite frankly, Eli is not getting the job done. Notice how it says at the very beginning, the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. So again, this is coming off the end of the book of Judges, where you have moral confusion in the land of Israel. Eli is the priest. He should be one of those people trying to fix a problem. The problem is, though, his sons. In chapter 2, he talks about how his sons are a bunch of rascals, wicked and ungodly, of how they do all sorts of sin around the temple, fighting themselves. No, this is back for televangelists, so they're over there getting the best of the offering and such. And so it became known to the people of Israel, that these sons were worthless. And then God sends a messenger to Eli. In verse 27, a man God came to Eli and said to him, "Thus has the Lord said." And in this, he tells him, "Your sons, both of them, will die on the same day." And Eli goes, "Oh, no," and doesn't say anything about it. Well, sometime later, you got little Samuel. He's sitting in the church, what we call the church in our culture. Eli's old man can't see very well. And they're both lying down, trying to go to sleep. And Samuel's not too far from the Ark of the Covenant. And you know that from Indiana Jones, right? That's the very special and holy place. Samuel. So little Samuel jumps up. "Hey, Eli, I'm here." "No, I didn't call for you. Go back to bed." A little while later, "Samuel, here I am." "Samuel, I didn't call for you. Go back to bed. I'm trying to sleep." A little while later, "Samuel, here I am." And finally, the third try, Eli figures it out. Oh, the Lord is speaking to him. Now, Eli gives him great advice. He says, "The next time you hear the voice, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant listens.'" Now, put yourself in Eli's shoes for a second. Wouldn't that be kind of embarrassing if you're the priest and God is speaking? He's calling in, but it's not for you. It's for the kid. And Eli, Samuel was so young and so naive, he didn't know it was the Lord. He thought it was Eli calling him. But Eli picks up on it, and he goes, "Oh, that has to be the Lord." And I get the impression that Eli, as a young man, probably did the right thing, and he heard the voice of the Lord. But as the years went by, his heart got cold. He allowed his sons to commit sins. And then he can no longer hear the voice of the Lord. It's kind of like we have a stained glass window over here of Jesus knocking on the door. And sometimes I'm afraid some folks, he's still knocking. You can't hear him. You tune him out. And so the Lord is going to speak through Samuel. And so it says the Lord came and stood there. So it's not like he's up in the sky somewhere. God's presence is right next to him. "Samuel, Samuel, speak, for your servant is listening." And then the Lord gives a dreadful announcement. "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears it tingle. On that day, I will fill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house, from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to furnish his house forever, and the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be wiped away by sacrifice or offering forever. Now, that's a lot for an adult to take in, right? Samuel was just a kid. And so the next morning, Samuel just kind of lies there till morning, and then he gets up, opens the doors. And it says, Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli, you know. And I think some of you parents and grandparents, you know how this goes. At the breakfast table, or dinner table. Hey, is there anything you need to tell me about what happened in school today? No, nothing happened. Are you sure? Right. You know how it is when you're a kid, right? You don't say anything. You won't find out how much your parents know first, right? Kind of when you talk to the cops. You just tell them just enough what they already know, nothing more. And so there's little Samuel at the table with Eli. And Eli says, Samuel, my son, here I am. You know, this time Eli goes to Samuel. So Samuel goes to Eli. Eli says, what was it the Lord told you? And then he gets kind of harsh, says, do not hide from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all they told you. Now, that's pretty severe, isn't it? Now, Eli, you try to hide anything from me, I hope the Lord does what he's going to do to me plus some. You know, I really don't like that in Eli. I feel like that's overkill, you know. He should have been like, Eli, Samuel, just get to me straight, you know. What's going to happen? And the truth of the matter is, Eli already knew the answer, didn't he? Because the man of God told him that his sons were going to die on the same day. And so Samuel just repeats what was told. And Eli said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. And so here you got Eli, and he just kind of gives up, you know. I think I'd be repenting, and I think I'd call my two sons in and say, you know, dumb and dumber, you two are fired. Get out of this temple. I can't use you. Eli's washed up. It's like God put him on the shelf. I can't use him anymore. But what about Samuel? Samuel just getting started. And Samuel grew up, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. In other words, he didn't say something, he just fell to the ground, nothing happened. When Samuel spoke, people were listening. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. And the Lord continued to appear to Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. In other words, this wasn't a one-off thing. Samuel and the Lord would talk often to each other. And so the result was that Samuel is becoming the real spiritual leader of Israel. And when you get further along, you discover, for example, like when he goes to Bethlehem. When he goes to Bethlehem, the elders come out, and they said they were trembling, and they said, like, do you come peacefully? No. Because Samuel would go around to the different villages, giving the word of the Lord. And I can imagine sometimes he had some good thing to say, sometimes I imagine he had a bad thing to say. And they came out and said, you come peacefully, you know. I don't know how it is at Englewood, but I know at Central, when it's every once in a while, we get a text message that says the fire marshal's here, right? And it's like, you're by scrambles. And my library's always in good shape. It's my little side rooms, so other people get in there, and they hook up the orange extension cord into a surge protector, or the school counselor, or the counselor has a little candle she has to put out because it's pretty, or little Christmas lights, and then I hide all that mess. You know? And that's how it was with Samuel. He showed up like the fire marshal. I was like, what is he going to say? And Samuel always told it like it is. And then later on, when the people wanted a king, he warned them, this is a bad idea. Don't ask for a king. You don't know what you're getting yourself into. And the Lord had to tell Samuel, Samuel, they didn't reject you, they're rejecting me. They don't want me to be their king. No. Isn't it funny how here in the United States in 1776 we fought a war, get rid of a king? And now all we talk about in the news is Meg and Harry got into a car chase last night, right? And King Charles got crowned. And I think when Samuel kind of gave his little retirement speech in chapter 12, it really sums up the kind of man he was. In verse 19, all the people said to Samuel, pray to the Lord your God for your servants, so we may not die, for we have added our sins to the evil of demanding a king for ourselves. So in other words, Samuel preached his great sermon, and people realized they messed up. And Samuel said to the people, do not be afraid. You have done all this evil. Yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And do not turn aside after useless things that cannot profit or save, for they are useless. For the Lord will not cast away his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you a people for himself. Remember on Youth Sunday, we did a sermon about chosen, being a chosen people? Eli, Samuel saying, you're a chosen people. God's not going to cast you away. He's going to punish you for your sins, but he's not done with you yet. And then he speaks about himself. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. And I will instruct you in the good and the right way. Samuel says, as for me, may I not sin against the Lord by stopping my praying for you. Think about that. Even though he was retiring as a leader, he was still going to be the spiritual leader. He's still going to be praying for them and teaching them the difference between right and wrong. And in verse 24 and 25, here is a great promise and also a dangerous warning. He ends by saying, only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. But if you still do wickedly, you shall be swept away, both you and your king. That's a promise of God, and that applies to us as well. When we fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all our hearts, what do you do? He does great things for us. But when we do wicked things, we're swept away. Remember Psalms 1. The righteous are like the wheat that are stored up in the barn. The wicked are like the chaff that are blown away. But think about how Noah was in the ark preserved with his family while the wicked were washed away. And then years later, how the righteous, the remnant, were left in the land of Israel while the wicked were carried away in Babylonian captivity. So what about us this morning? Are we listening to the voice of the Lord? You know, sometimes the central kids will say, I didn't know that. Nobody told me. I'm like, yes, they did. I said, you weren't listening. And sometimes you don't listen because you're on your phone or you got your ear pod in or you're talking to your buddies during more announcements. And then you wonder why you're clueless about what goes on in school. And I had a homeroom that said, Mitch, why? I said, guys, I wasn't paying attention. I said, that's not my clubs, those are yours. It's your job to listen. I'm not listening for you. But what about us? Are we so busy listening to the internet, the newspaper, the TV, the gossip, that like Eli, we can't hear the word of the Lord? If that's the case, we're in trouble. My prayer would be that we'd be like little Samuel. Here's a young child. Very small at that point, very young. But he had a pure heart. In the middle of the night, he could hear, Samuel, Samuel. And my prayer is, just like Samuel, who had the humility and the obedience to say, Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now, at this time of